Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through this series, we have spoken of various forms of suffering the Christian can experience. Suffering we endure for doing the right thing. Suffering we endure for naming the name of Christ. Suffering or chastisement brought on by our sin. And suffering the loss of a loved one. And we've emphasized that when suffering comes to you, don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised. Think of this entire series as a guidebook for suffering, to undo the surprise when it comes, and to see suffering as a normal part of the Christian life. Our lessons today teach another form of suffering, namely the suffering brought about by Satan, which is ordained by God. You have no doubt heard of St. Paul's thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn was, but we can safely speculate it being some sort of physical ailment, something Paul called a messenger of Satan. Paul says God allowed Satan to inflict his body to keep him from becoming conceited. And this is one of the reasons for suffering, to bring about humility, attacking our pride. So Paul received an answer to why his suffering came. He then responds, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Concluding with, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Well, with Job, it's worse. For God allows Satan to strike, to afflict all that Job had. Round one was to take away Job's children and livelihood. All done to get Job to doubt God and ultimately to deny him completely. Upon hearing what happened, Job tore his robe, shaved his head, and worshiped, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job shows us how to receive suffering from the Lord's hand, even when that hand the Lord is using is Satan's. The chapter ends, "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Job continued to trust that the Lord was holy and good, even though the evidence was starting to point in the other direction." Round two, the devil doubles down. This is what we read today. Satan now touches Job's body, head to toe with lonesome sores. And the only relief Job can get is to sit in ash and scrape his skin. Again, he's afflicted like this so as to do exactly what his wife tells him to do. Curse God and die. The evidence is overwhelming. Can't you see it, Job? Don't you get it? If there is a God at all, he's certainly not that powerful, or he's not that good. And if there is a God, he obviously hates you. Job told his wife, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak." In other words, you're talking like a fool. Scripture tells us a fool says in his heart, "There is no God." You are not talking like a woman of faith. He asks her, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not also receive evil?" Job knows what's happened is evil, and that God has allowed it to come. But why did God allow it? Job has no idea, and many times, I dare say most of the time, neither will you. Rarely will you get an answer for your suffering like Paul did. But you do have promises, promises to cling to. One of those promises, God has all things under his control, including the devil. In the midst of Job's suffering, he does not speak against God. Round three, enter Job's friends. Having heard all that happened, they come to sympathize and comfort him. "Job, you've lost everything, but you haven't lost us. We're here for you. What a comfort, what great friends to have. And the best thing they could have done for Job was to sit there quietly with his misery. But they can't. They want to connect the dots. And so do we when suffering comes. Luckily for Job, they know exactly why everything Job has experienced is happening to him. And so they argue, God does not love you, Job. He hates you, for you did something awful to bring this upon yourself. They take all the circumstances of Job's life, his suffering, loss and pain, and they use it as evidence that God is punishing him. You know, in our suffering, our minds tend to go to two places. Either I did something wrong and God's mad at me, or something is wrong with God. And the devil? He will run loose with either of those conclusions, intending to assault your hope, your love, your faith. He has a field day with it. God hates you. Job says, no, he doesn't. You did something wrong. No, I didn't. God's not good. Yes, he is. And Job stands firm against every whack his friends take. But, and this goes to show what bad theology can bring, as the book goes on and the dialogue continue, his friends wear Job down. Yet just in time, right at the end of the book, the Lord himself steps in and basically tells everyone, including Job, shut your mouths. Quit with your pathetic attempt at explaining why I do what I do. God asks them, are you God? No, you're not. And regarding this, there are too many things at play that you can't even hold them all in your head. If I explained them all to you, you would not be satisfied with the explanation. More could be said, but suffice it to say, from below, we stare at the tapestry of our lives. We see the knotted rug with all of these dangling ends and all kinds of ugliness. Then one day, each one of our bodies are going to be laid into the grave. And on the last day, your Savior will call you by name. He will call the great and small alike. And you will come forth into a new world that He's made, where there will be no more tears, no more Satan, no more suffering. And only then will you see that same tapestry as it's viewed from above. And every knot and piece of ugliness from underneath will make perfectly good sense when viewed from above. I look forward to that day, and my guess is, so do you. For now, we wait in our weakness. We wait in our lack of understanding, knowing and trusting that Christ has it all in his hands. May God keep us firm and steadfast in that one true faith. And until then, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.